Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By. My name is Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy.
How are you doing this fine and dandy Wednesday?
Dazed and confused. Dazed and confused.
Yeah, yes, I can just imagine. All right, so, after the bloody battle we had on Monday's show, I think today will be a much nicer, much more calm show. And I thought we would start off today's show by talking about the good people at the U.S. Postal Service.
Good people?
Oh, they're fantastic. When they don't go postal, they're fantastic. When the postal people don't go postal, everything is fine. When they go postal, you need to get out of the way. But
I don't know about good, because most of my mail oftentimes comes in wet or late.
Really? We get fantastic service in my town. But, you know, the reason why we need to talk about the postal service is that in the not-so-distant future, we might not have a postal service.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's the implication. Now, it's not... Nobody is talking about disbanding the postal service entirely. I mean, people are talking about it, but nobody in a position of power is, at least publicly, thinking about it. But what the postal service is doing is closing a plethora of locations across the country. Now, the problem with the postal service is that it has been, ever since, like, the 1950s or 60s, constantly... putting out more money than it takes in. It has constantly been in debt. And the government tried to correct this in the 1980s by almost spinning it off. I mean, the Postal Service is still a federal agency, but it is, like, independent at the same time. It's a little bit arcane, actually, the relationship. But the federal government is, like, a wholly owned subsidiary of the federal government is a good way to put it, I think.
Interesting.
And the idea was that you would cut it out of the rest of the Washington bureaucracy and let them almost kind of run themselves. People thought that that would allow them to be more efficient. And it hasn't really helped. I mean, it hasn't hurt at all. But it hasn't helped either. I mean, they are still hemorrhaging money. And you see that because every few years they have to raise the postage price. And every few years they slash a couple hundred postal offices here and there and everywhere. So they have just this past Thursday, they have announced, they being the Postal Service, have announced that they are planning on closing nearly 250 processing facilities and cutting their equipment by 50%. This is to try to save around $3 billion in annual money. Now, the problem with this is that you lay off a lot of people. This would you know, kind of lay off like 35,000 people around that.
Holy fuck!
That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. And not only that, but they have been for a while talking about even limiting the days that the postal service is in operation. There have been there's been a lot of talk that Tuesdays and Thursdays might be off the calendar. Because they have, like, their lowest shipment on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's, like, the low point. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday seems to be the more popular days.
No, it doesn't seem to be that big of a problem.
What?
Only cutting it, cutting out 2 days.
Well, even so, millions of things are mailed on those days, so that's going to inconvenience a lot of people, no matter what. Anything that they do is going to inconvenience a lot of people, because if you shut down a post office on one block, that's a couple hundred people that need to go to the post office across town instead of just walking a few feet. You know, it's things like that that piss off local people. And it's those local issues that really get people's blood pumping.
Question before you go in. There are towns that have multiple post offices?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Holy fuck, what a waste of play, money that is.
Yeah, I would bet that the majority of people listening to us right now have at least two post offices within a 10 to 15 mile radius. At least two. The majority of them. Now, we live in, you know, is central Pennsylvania is a very rural, suburban kind of area. We kind of miss out on a lot of this stuff. We're not as developed as the newer, more affluent suburbs and places like that. A lot of places across the country have multiples of a lot of stuff like that.
Spoiled bastards.
Yeah, well, there is something to be said for that. That does a town really need more than one post office? Probably not. You know, that's just things like that. But this is the post office was always the organ of the federal government that people were supposed to have contact with. And it's always been said that before the New Deal in the 1930s, the only time a citizen had regular contact with the federal government was the post office. That's like one of the most popular expressions conservatives like to throw out. And there's a reason for that, though. The post office is like, even today, it is the face of the federal government for a lot of people. And if they start to see that less often, if people need to go further and further to deal with the post office, that's concerning, especially to the elderly community. The elderly people utilize the post office in ways that people of our generation and maybe the generation right after us don't really use it all that much. Like it's unusual for us to Kem say, when was the last time you mailed something?
Oh boy, I have no idea. I do most of my banking, most of my anything that has to do with paying bills, I do it all online.
Same with me. I have never in my life mailed a bill.
I did in the first maybe few weeks, like a month or two of having a credit card before I said, oh yeah, screw this, I'll do everything online.
No, for me, that was the first thing I did when I got my credit card. I have never in my life mailed a bill, and I don't expect to. But then there are people like our parents, for example. I'm willing to bet that your parents do most of their bills via the mail, right?
Yes, I'm actually trying to get them to sort of decrease the amount of letter like bills they send out and just have them like push things towards their credit card so they have one or two, like two or three instead of like 10.
Yeah, exactly. But my parents are the same way. They do everything via paper and the mail. Totally different generation, totally different way of thinking. To them, it's very easy. All they need to do is put the bill and put the check in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and mail it. But for us, we see how complicated that is. In comparison to just going onto a website and hitting a pay now button. So, or even having it done automatically. That's the best way for us to have it automatically, like at a certain point each month, come out of our checking account.
I'm slightly dubious about having anything connected to my checking account. I prefer credit card.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, sure. I'm not that funny about it, but I know a lot of people like that. Yep. All right. So I think we've hammered the story enough. The Postal Service is going to be around for a long time to come. You just might not be seeing as many people in the striped blue uniforms. All right, Chemslave, do you have anything you want to talk about today?
Okay, I read a lot of the tech news, and I've subscribed to a site called Lifehacker, and I just
Love
saw
it.
this,
Love it. Okay, go on.
and I saw this article that really just got my blood boiling.
Uh-oh. Okay, what's it about?
It's about how adding a second job will make you feel better. Well, maybe not in so many words, but like, oh yeah, if you have a second job, and you can work 60, 80 hours a week, you won't have a lot of free time to kill with movies, games, or other sometimes costly activities. So you won't be going as with working that many hours, you won't be shopping as much and exposed to media ads as you would otherwise, or going out on t out of town. So it'll make you have more money and be more financially healthy by working your ass off all day. Be a good slave.
I agree with you, but I think for different reasons. Like, I know you and I both agree that people should be responsible for their own well-being, at least to an extent.
Yes.
A personal responsibility is a very important part of life, right?
Of course.
And if you are trying to maintain a lifestyle, and especially in a tough economy like this, you're having trouble doing that without going into debt, and you feel like you want to take a second job, you should have that right.
Oh, I'm not saying people shouldn't have
Yeah,
that right.
yeah, no, I know that, and I agree with you that the premise of this article is wrong, and that they coach this as being good, being a distracted, kind of like almost like a distracted, like automaton. Is good for you, because that's the whole point of this article. You are so busy that you don't have any time to waste on yourself. That's how having a second job helps your bottom line. Not that second income necessarily, but the fact that you don't have any time to blow the money from the first income. And that is not the right way to think about it.
Yeah, it sort of seems puritanical in a way.
It is absolutely puritanical. That's a fantastic way of putting it. The idea that you've got to work your ass off to stop yourself from spending is almost in a way not taking responsibility. Just you like giving yourself an excuse.
Yeah, I work 70 hours a day, so
I can't watch this movie. I'm working 75 hours a week. Yeah, it's stuff like that. Whereas if you did a 40-hour work week, and then you saw in your checkbook that oh Jesus, I'm getting kind of low. I guess I shouldn't have bought that $50 application on iTunes. It's stuff like that you need to cut back.
There's $50 applications on iTunes.
Oh my God. If you have a Mac, in the Mac App Store, all right, you can get like AutoCAD from Autodesk, and that thing's like $800. Even on the iOS App Store, you have like a legal, bar exam, preparatory courses that are like $600, $700, $800.
Wow.
And that's not necessarily price gouging either. I mean, that replaces services that cost thousands of bucks, and that's for a specific, very limited audience. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, there are a lot of expensive things that you don't need to buy immediately. Shoes, applications if you're a geek, you know, things that are not key to your livelihood, to your way of life. And if you're trying to live a certain lifestyle and you're finding it difficult, instead of maybe getting a second job to force yourself not to spend anything at all, you should maybe try to prioritize and see what is working in your life, what is not working in your life. You might come to the conclusion that you do need to get a second job. And I don't think any of us are saying that you shouldn't get a second job if you think that's what you need. But as you said, that puritanical idea that you must stop yourself from sinning, stop yourself from spending money. It's a very odd way of approaching the subject.
Yeah, this whole article is like sort of rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, really, you can't give them some type of advice, like maybe like doing like a prioritizing, budgeting. Truthfully, get a Mint account and set up a budget, and you'll see that red little red line if you're using the app, or if you're on an actual website, you'll see like a red, and it's like, oh my god, I'm spending above my means. I should probably stop. Don't buy this. Don't buy that. Maybe I shouldn't go to Starbucks every day and get a coffee and some type of pastry. Don't sort of give yourself this excuse, oh, I'm going to be working a second job so I don't spend more money.
Yes, exactly. That is the total wrong reason to get a second job. As a matter of fact, if you take the advice of this article, I could foresee people developing, like, depression issues or, like, getting overwhelmed because they have no time for themselves. I think this article on Lifehacker was a bad idea all around. Did they originate this, by the way? No, they didn't. It's from thenpenzo.com. Thenpenzo.com.
Is it really? Because that's what they... But it's written by David Galloway, so...
No, it's not. Oh, wait. Oh, wait, no, you might be... Well... Wait a second.
The article is written, but then the link that they give is written by Len Penzo.
But
he's giving like a list of 19 things you should do.
Why is that link even there? The article doesn't even... Okay, forget I said that. Okay, yeah, you're right. I guess it is written by Lifehacker. Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, shame on Lifehacker. I mean, this was a stupid article. They should not have written this.
Yeah, I'm sometimes overwhelmed, and I work 37 and a half hours a week. But I have an hour commute both ways, and that sort of throws off my sort of afternoon schedule. It's like, holy crap, I only have a few hours before I have to go to bed because I have to get up early to get to work.
Yep. All right, so do you have anything else to say about this?
No other than David Galloway must be a douchebag.
That or he just has no idea what it means to have a real job. Not that blogging's not a real job. God knows that's not what I'm trying to say, but I get the impression that David Galloway might not have held two jobs at once. I don't think anybody who's done that would have written this article. All right. So then, if you If you have any questions about what we've been talking about, first go to the show notes, go to our website, justgettingbypodcast.com, and you'll see the episode. This will be episode, what episode number would this be? I have no idea.
I think it's 20, maybe?
Yes, it would be 20. Yep, this would be episode 20. And if you have any suggestions about ways we could improve the show, email us. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast. Again, it is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. The dot com's important. I shouldn't have left that out. feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. So, on that note, we will leave you now and return on Friday to talk about technology. Ooh, my favorite. Until then, have a good week, Chemslave.
Yep, you do, friend.